Howdy, folks, and welcome to Melody Ranch with Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the long
to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Cotner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
When it's roundup time in Texas and the bloom is on the sage, how I long to be in Texas, back a-riding on the range, just to smell the bacon frying when it's sizzling in the pan, hear the breakfast horn in the early morn, drinking coffee from a can, just a-riding, rocking, roping, pounding leather all day long, just a-sweating, swaying, swearing, listening to a cowhand song. How it beckons, and I reckon I would work for any way, just to be free again when the bloom is on the sage.
When it's round up time in Texas and the bloom is on the stage, then along to be in Texas, back a-riding on the range, just to smell the bacon frying when it's sizzling in the pan, hear the breakfast horn in the early morn, drinking coffee from a can,
just a-riding, rocking, roping, pounding leather all day long, just a-sweating, swaying, swearing, listening to a cowhand song. How it reckons, and I reckon I would work for any way, just to be again, to be free again, when the bloom is on the sage. Well, thank you, friends and neighbors, and a mighty warm welcome to Melody Ranch. And now, here's a song that was quite a favorite a few years back. We thought you might enjoy hearing it again. Carl?
Now is the hour when we must say goodbye.
Thank you a lot, folks.
Every little breeze seems to whisper, soon I'll coonrod. Birds in the trees seem to whisper, soon I'll coonrod. Each little bird...
all right, that's enough.
What's the matter?
Well, that's what I want to know.
Oh. Well, guess.
I give up.
I'm in love.
Not again.
Yeah, that's me.
You know, you fall in love every time you walk into a warm room, bud.
Well, maybe, but not this time. This is a real thing. You see, Sue Nell has a beautiful spirit, a wonderful heart, and a lovely soul.
She has, huh?
Yeah, I'd really have some if I could just turn her inside out.
Well, I'll bet you would. Oh. Say, by the way, Johnny tells me that she's just a little on the fat side. Is that right?
Oh, now, I wouldn't say that. She measures just exactly 5 feet.
You mean in any direction?
Yeah. Anyway, at least she ain't as fat as my ex-girlfriend, Teresa Bell Muldrew.
Oh. Well, comparing those two is like having a beauty contest between two crocodiles.
Well, might be. But Teresa Bell was fatter, oh... She looked like a bale of hay with the center hoop busted.
Well, I can believe that. Say, incidentally, you never did tell me, how did you and Sue Nell first meet?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Artery, it is like this. You see, I went with her sister first.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister had a good job. She used to be head sponger at the horse wash in town there. She got married and... Well, after that, we just sort of drifted apart, you know.
Well, that still doesn't answer my question. How did you and Sue Nell meet?
You really want to know?
Yes, I really want to know.
Okay, here's how it happened. I took her to a movie one night on a blind date.
You mean you were blind?
Yeah, no. And after the movie, we went back to her house, and we sat on the front porch swing.
Oh, I bet that was love.
Yeah, and just between us, though, she was a little naive-y.
What do you mean, naive-y?
Well, when I asked her to hold my hand, she said nobody ever taught her to hold hands.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Then I asked her to give me a little hug, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She said nobody ever taught her to hug.
Oh, that was different.
Finally, I asked her to give me a little kiss. She said nobody ever taught her to kiss.
So how'd you make out?
Shake hands with the Board of Education.
I know that someday you'll want me to want you. When I'm in love with somebody else, you expect me to be true and keep on loving you. Though I am feeling blue, you think I can't forget you until someday you want me to want you. When I am strong for somebody new, and though you don't want me now, I'll get along somehow. And then I won't want you.
Well, thank you, friends. I'm glad you liked it. And now, since it's story time here at Melody Ranch, I thought I'd go back to one morning just 8 years ago today when Johnny Bond came in the front door with a letter in his hand.
Hey, Gene.
Yeah?
Postman wants you to sign for this here letter that just come in. It's registered.
Oh, who's it from, Johnny?
Says here, Steve Williams on the envelope. You know anybody by that name?
Well, yeah, but I don't know why he'd be sending me anything but registered mail.
So, what'll I tell the postman?
Oh, never mind. Where's the card he gave you for me to sign?
Right here.
Okay. Take it back out to him. Give me the letter.
All right, here. I'll get the rest of the mail and be back in just a minute.
Thanks, Johnny. Dear Gene, every time I think of you, I can't help but remember the time we spent those 6 days together last year hunting and fishing. Words can't tell you how much I enjoyed that trip. But right now, I am writing you to ask a very big favor. This letter will no doubt come as a surprise. Seems that at least I turn to you once every so often for help. Being a man of pride, I held up in writing you in the hope that some outstanding old securities, bonds, and stocks of mine might be worth just somewhere near the $5,000 I owe. But the bank said no. Now Mr. Snyder is foreclosing immediately on my place. If you can lend me $5,000, please send it by mail in care of General Delivery to the post office, Pine Junction, where I'll pick it up. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your doing this for me. Your ever grateful friend, Steve.
Can't you read that letter yet?
Oh, yeah, I read it, Johnny.
Well, what did it say?
A friend of mine wants to borrow $5,000.
$5,000? You ain't gonna do it, are you?
Well, sure, he's a good friend of mine, Johnny. He's in trouble. Of course I'm gonna do it. Telling Johnny I planned to send Steve Williams $5,000 was one thing, but raising that much money was another. Anyway, that same day, I went into town to the bank to pick up some stock I had as collateral, and the next morning picked up the $5,000 in the form of a cashier's check. I then went back to the ranch and reread Steve's letter. One part of it still confused me. He said that he remembered the time we went fishing and hunting together the year before. Only the funny part of it was that I'd never been hunting or fishing with Steve Williams in my life. Still, the letter was in Steve's handwriting, which meant that he might be in trouble. So I put the check in an envelope, gave it to one of the boys, and told him to mail it right away. Then, just on a hunch, Johnny and I saddled up our horses and rode over to Pine City. The next morning, when the post office opened, we were waiting in a corner to see what had happened. We didn't have to wait long.
Yes, sir, can I help you?
Any mail for Steve Williams?
Steve Williams? Just a minute, I'll see.
Thanks.
Hey, Gene, that ain't Steve Williams.
Quiet, Johnny, listen.
Here you are, sir. This registered letter just came in this morning. Do you have any identification?
How's this draft card?
Oh, that... Well, I see you served in the last war, Mr. Williams. What branch?
Marines. How about the letter?
Oh, yes, of course. Here you are.
Thanks.
Okay, John, let us go.
Yeah? What do you want?
Howdy. We're looking for Steve Williams. Is he around?
Not now, he ain't. Why?
Do you mind if we wait?
It's okay with me. May have to wait a long time. Quit working here 10 days ago.
Oh? That's funny.
What's funny about it?
Oh, never mind. Well, Johnny, guess we better head back to town.
Any message you want me to give Williams if I hear from him?
Yeah, just tell him Al Clark stopped by to see him. Now I knew something was wrong. If Steve was away on the trip, how could he get the money I sent him? And if he wasn't, he could be in trouble. Bad trouble. But where was he? And then it hit me. The one place that might have the answer I was looking for was in his letter to me. So as soon as I got back to town, took it out, read it again.
I still don't know what you expect to find in that letter. Steve just says he wants you to loan him $5,000, that's all.
I know, Johnny. But why would he say that we spent 6 days hunting and fishing together when he knows we didn't?
Maybe he's got you mixed up with somebody else.
Yeah, maybe, but I doubt it. No, it's got to be... Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Look here in this first paragraph.
What about it? I don't see nothing.
Look at the word every.
E-V-E-R-Y, every. What's wrong with that?
The first letter is a capital, yet the word's in the middle of a sentence.
Oh, fine. So what?
I don't know for sure, but it's worth a try. Quick, take this pencil and copy these words down as I give them to you.
Okay, but I...
Do just as I say. Let's see here now. This letter will no doubt come... Comes the first word, Johnny.
Got it.
As a great surprise. Seems that at least I turn to you once every so often for help. Being a man of pride, I held up in writing to you in the hope that some outstanding old securities, stocks and bonds of mine might be worth somewhere near the $5,000 I owe. But the bank said no. Now Mr. Snyder is foreclosing immediately upon my place, and I can't raise the money. Okay, Johnny, you got it?
Yeah, let's see. Come at once, being held in old mine near the Snyder place.
That's it. Let's go. Oh, boy. Hold it, Johnny. I think we'd better walk on from here.
Right.
Now, keep your eyes open and stay in the shadows.
Shadows, he says.
Shh, quiet. The moon's just slipping behind that cloud. Now, keep low and run as fast as you can for that mine shaft. See it?
Yeah, I see it.
Let's go. So far, so good. But from here on, it's going to be tough.
You think anybody heard us?
I hope not. Come on. Quietly, we started into the mine. Step by step, slowly edging our way along the side of the wall. Somewhere up ahead, I thought I heard low, mumbled voices, but I couldn't be sure. 10 yards farther on, the wall made an abrupt turn. I motioned Johnny to stop. Up ahead, their faces clear in the light from a lantern, were two men. I recognized both of them. One was the same guy I talked to earlier that afternoon. The other was Steve Williams.
Okay, reach.
What you?
I said reach. Now get over there against the wall.
You got nothing on me, cowboy.
Yeah, we'll see about that later. Cover him, Johnny, while I untie Steve and get that gag out of his mouth. Then we'll find out where my 5,000 bucks is, drop this guy off at the sheriff's office, and head for home.
Nice night, ain't it?
Yeah, sure is.
By the way, I never did ask you...
What?
Who was that character that tried to get the 5,000 bucks out of you?
His name was Conway, Johnny. Joe Conway. Steve Williams gave him my name as a reference when Steve went to work on that place that we stopped at this afternoon.
You mean Conway owned that place?
No, he was just the foreman. The guy who owned the place had taken a trip back east, leaving his ranch in Conway's hands. Evidently, Conway got in a little gambling trouble and had to use some of his boss's funds. Then, when the old man wired that he was coming back, Conway got scared. He couldn't cover the shortage, so he forced Steve to write that letter.
Brother, I still don't see, though, how you knew he was in that mine just from reading his letter.
Well, if you'll remember, the word every was capitalized. So was the word six. And the word words... that meant every sixth word in the letter was a separate sentence in itself, telling us where Steve was.
Well, all I can say is just one thing.
What's that?
Steve Williams just ought to be darn glad that you got that letter instead of me. Otherwise, he might never have been... Hatch!
Bless you. Found. Thanks. Something. I wish I just had the time back that I've spent during the past 10 years singing this next song. It'd add up to plenty of days, and that's for sure. Yet, singing this song is always a pleasure. Not only because it's one of my own personal favorites, but because folks everywhere ask guys like me to sing it over and over again. I'm sure by now that you all know I'm talking about Bob Nolan's great Western classic. See them tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. Cares of the past are behind. Nowhere to go but I find. Just where the trail will wind. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. I know when night has gone, that a new world's born at dawn. I'll keep rolling along. Deep in my heart is a song. Here on the range I belong. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed.
I know when night has come that a new world's born at dawn.
I'll keep rolling along. Deep in my heart is a song. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed.
Well, good friends, that seems to be the last rung on the old ladder for this Melody Ranch party. But we've got another swell get-together lined up for you at the same time and over these same stations, so try and join us then, won't you? Meantime, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed, the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I oh, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again.